Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Lamed. Thank the Lubman Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zechon is Maslib, Gabriel Abba Shmuel. We are in Chavtesim and Beis, but towards the bottom of the Amud. Starting the day this morning, Tanur Rabbanan. Yesterday started daf, the Sugya and daf Chavtes, the Sugya of mitzvahs that are applicable from parent to child, from child to parent. And mitzvah essay versus mitzvah lo essay, mitzvah essay shazman grama versus mitzvah essay shalom hazman grama. It's a popular gemara. It has a lot of basics in it. And right now we're discussing the mitzvahs that a father has to do for a son, father to the exclusion of the mother. Mother's not obligated in these mitzvahs. The Braisa on Chavtes Amar Aleph recorded five mitzvahs that a father is obligated to do for a son, possibly a sixth, la'ashita banahar, to teach him how to swim. Or just simply not drown. We are now in the Gemara on Chavtes Amid Beis Tanur Rabbanan. We're starting with the Braisa Lomotar Velisa Isha. So let's say a person has right now a choice, and that is either to learn Torah or to get married. Seems to be a very simplistic choice. One doesn't necessarily have to be to the exclusion of the other. Obviously, the Braisa over here is discussing that in order to make a very serious commitment to learning Torah, so it's going to be very difficult doing so and being married. So which takes precedence over which? So Yom Tov Achakach Yisa Isha. So the Braisa says the first thing you should do is you should learn Torah, and then afterwards you'll marry. But if he can't be without a wife, meaning his Yetzirah is getting the best of him, so Yisa Isha V'Achakach Yom Tov. So then you should marry and then learn Torah. That is the Braisa. Okay, so the Braisa gives us a very simple pecking order in terms of what should be done first, learning versus get married. The Braisa says you should learn first before you get married, and then Bidyeved, or I'm not sure if the Bidyeved is the right term to use over here, but it is the second course of action. You get married and then you learn Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Halacha, no Seisha V'Achakach Yom Torah. So the Amoraim take a position. Rav Yehuda Mashmal says is that first you should get married and then afterwards you should learn Torah. Rav Yochanan says the yoke is around your neck, the millstone is around your neck, and you're going to be able to learn Torah. Meaning once you're married, you're going to have all that responsibility and you're not going to have the time to learn Torah. So Rav Yochanan says it's impossible. So essentially what Rav Yochanan is saying is the other way around. First you should learn Torah and then you should get married. But the Gemara says that these Amarim are really not arguing with one another. Halan v'halahu. So the Gemara says that the two Amarayim are just addressing the different geographies. One is dealing with Minag Eretz Yisrael versus the Minag of Bavel. Why would there be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? And why would that lead to two different conclusions of which you should do first, get married or learn Torah? So first let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Halam v'halahu. So Rashi writes, B'nei Bavel hayu holchin v'gorsin mishnayo satanayim b'Eretz Yisrael. So the Minag back then used to be that if you lived in Bavel, so obviously you had your yeshivas in Bavel, but when you went to go learn your mishnayos, your braisos, so you would be heading over to Eretz Yisrael and you'd be learning overseas. Okay, now, right from our standpoint here in America, not much has changed. We also have the minhag of learning in Eretz Yisrael, but back then in Bavel they also had it. And umitoch shelomdim chutzim kamam ein tzarche abayis mutalin alav. And so therefore that means what? You're going to get married and you're going to have to leave in order to learn. So Rashi says that's great. You're going to then just simply get married, say goodbye to your wife, and you won't have the responsibilities of taking care of her, and you'll have all the time in the world to learn, and you won't have the Yetzirah. Rashi goes on to say, no Seisha dahava below here, v'achaka cholich v'lo meitarah. Fine. That is if you're living in Bavel, and that's represented by the opinion of Rav Yehuda Mashmol Nar Gemara. Next, Rashi, lahu, levnei Eretz Yisrael, halom dimim kamam. However, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael and learning in Eretz Yisrael, That presents a problem. Because what's going to then happen is you're going to be married, but then you're not. There's nowhere to go. Meaning you're learning right there. It's in my office, right next to the snack machine downstairs. So the downstairs. So you have nowhere else to go. So you're going to be home, and she's going to. and she's gonna distract you from your learning because of all the responsibility. That is the way Rashi presents the Gemara. If this Rashi seems difficult to understand, so Tosfos has a very hard time understanding Rashi's pshat. Rashi said that if you're living in Bavel, so you get married. So Rashi says it takes care of your Yetzahara, and also you won't have to worry about the responsibility of taking care of her. Tosfos says, what is Rashi even saying? First of all, in terms of the Yetzahara, so that we could say simply, it's what's the principle that we refer to a number of times, the pas pesalo, meaning that even though he's not with his wife, but he knows he has a wife, and that will suppress his Yetzahara. So we could say that, and that certainly is something, you know, an idea that we've discussed before. In fact, not even that long ago, back in Daf Chav Beis, where we talked about, according to Rashi, you're going to take the... you're going to be taking the Eishes Yifas Torah home with you. In fact, I'm sure somebody said this. I'm sure I'm not the first one who said this. The Rashi over here and the Rashi over there are consistent in that as long as you have the idea that you have a wife at home or the idea that you will have relations with the Eishes Yifas Torah, so that'll suppress the Yetzahara. Okay, so in that regard, that's fine. But Tosfos says what really isn't fine according to Rashi is you get married and then you just leave her. You just leave her? What do you mean? When you're married, you're supposed to take care of her. In other words, there's a responsibility to take care of her. That's a basic principle of marriage. So it's very hard to understand. So with Tosfos, without going too much into it, you see it's a long Tosfos, it starts here, it goes on to the next Amud. So Tosfos says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that it works just the opposite, meaning the Pshat in the Gemara is that Rav Yochanan was describing what's going on in Bavel, and Rav Yehuda Mishmol is describing what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And really, the difference between them, says Tosfos, is a sociological difference, in that in Eretz Yisrael they were wealthy. So they were wealthy in Eretz Yisrael, so you can get married and you can learn because you can quite simply afford it. But in Bavel they were poor, and because they were poor, so you get married, you're not going to have any money unless you work and to support you and your wife. So Tosfos says it really is a sociological difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. There's a third way to learn the Gemara, but for our purposes right now, that'll be enough. We have Rashi, we saw Tosfos. Let's continue on in the Gemara. Mishabech le Rav Chisla Rav Huna bid Rav Hamanuna da Adam Gadol Hu. Rav Chisla Rav Huna were having a discussion, and Rav Chisla says to Rav Huna, you know, I know a guy. His name is Rav Hamanuna. In fact, we just talked about him also a couple days ago in the Daf. You remember he was given an unflattering nickname by a group of elderly people. Right, instead of Hamanuna, they called him Karnuna. Well, okay, but so he was touted, Rav Hamanuna was touted by Rav Chisda as being this great man. So Amalei Kishivoli Adchav Tavili Adi. So Rav Huna says, okay, great. I cannot wait to meet him. So he says to Rav Chisda, the next time he's in town, next time he's by you, bring him over to me. So now, when Rav Hamanuna was presented to Rav Huna for the very first time, so he comes in and he did not have a sudra. Married men at the time of the Gemara wore something on their head. I don't know how to describe it. I guess we can call it a turban. I don't know. But anyway, married men in the time of the Gemara had their head covered. Very similarly nowadays with the talus. So minhag of many married men is to wear the talus over their head. Okay. So anyway, this Rav Hamanuna did not have his head covered. So Amalei my time lo prisa sudra. So Rav Huna says, is there a reason why your head is not covered? Amalei delona sivna. So Rav Hamanuna gave him the answer. Yeah, it's very simple because I'm not married. Adrina la pe mine. So at that point in time, Rav Huna turned away from Rav Hamanuna. Basically, it was like a censorship. It was like I'm not interested in having anything to do with you. And Amrlei Chazid Lo Chazid Lahu Lapi Adin Asafta. And Rav Huna says to Rav Chisda, the next time I see him will be only after he's married. At that point in time, I have no interest in seeing him whatsoever. Okay? So Rav Huna Latam, and now Rav Huna was being consistent, maybe a little bit harsh, but okay, he was being consistent. So he has a statement that if you are 20 years of age and you're not married, so all your days are going to be in sin. Now that's a very strong statement. You mean actually sinning? So the Gemara says, no. After 20, you're not married, so you have hirurim. And the hirurim are very difficult, and the And the proper way to combat it is to get married. And this Rav Hamanuna, who I guess in Rav Huna's approximation was well over the age of 20, not married, not good. So Amar Rava v'chein tana debei Rav Yishmael al-chav shana. And now the Gemara says that this was taught by the yeshiva Rav Yishmael, that up until 20 years old, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzap al-adam masai yisa isha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to say, waiting when the person is going to get married. Kevin shegiyah chavalo nasa, but once you get to 20 and the person doesn't get married by 20, Omer tipeach atzmosav. So he says that his bone should explode. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very unhappy. I'm Rav Chista, hai da adifne mechavrei. Rav Chista goes on to explain that I am better than my colleagues. Did Nesivna b'shitzer, because I got married at 16. We have a Nesivna b'arveser, and Rav Chista goes on to report that if I got married at 14, have I mean l'satan gira b'enecha, I would have said to the satan, gira b'enecha, the arrow should be shot right in your eye, meaning I would have had an answer for the Yetzahara even at my very early years. So Rav Chista felt that the earlier the better. Amalei Rav Rabbi Nasan Bar Ami. Rav says to Rabbi Nasan Bar Ami, Adi Yadcha at Savarei Debrech. While your hand is on the neck of your son, Mishitzavai Desrim Vatarte. Now, there are two versions in terms of when you have the most influence over your son. Some say it's from 16 to 22, Va'amri La Mitam Nisrayad Esrim Varba. Some say it's from 18 to 24 years of age. So it's at that point in time that. Now stay tuned, because I'm going to, in just a moment, say what when you have the most influence, what you should be doing. But the Gemara points out tonight that this age range is even though we just saw it in the name of Amorayim, it's also reflected by Tanaim as well. Ketanai, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Chanoch Lanar, Apidarka, the Pasuk in Mishlei, often quoted within the world of Jewish education, understandably. So you teach the child, Apidarko, based on his derech. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemich, Haramah Mishitzavad Esrim V'tartin. Some give the age range from 16 to 22, V'Haramah Mitam Nesrayavad Esrim V'arba, and some say from 18 to 24. So you see that the time also argued in terms of what this, when this when the age range is, it's either from 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. So you have this 6-year very influential period in his life. And what should you be doing during the 6-year influential period? So Rashi says two pshatim. So if you take a look at Rashi, fourth line down, he writes, let's actually take a look at the Rashi prior to that. Ad yadcha tzaver debrech, ba'od yadcha tekifa abanech, while you still have a stronghold on your son, kodim sheyagdil v'loy kabel tochatcha, before he gets older and he, at that point in time, doesn't listen to you anymore, he siu isha. So Rashi says over here in this first pshat, there's a second pshat coming up, that at this point in time, you should marry him off. Meaning anywhere between the ages of either 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. That's Rashi's first pshat. Now, within this first pshat, it is a little bit difficult to understand in the context of the Gemara, because the Gemara just a moment ago said 20 really should be the max in terms of when you should get married. So it's a little bit difficult, because now the Gemara is kind of pushing it out a little bit more to 22 to 24 years of age. Okay, but that's Rashi in his first pshat. Rashi then goes on to say, next Rashi, Mishitzo Shnin, he gives man lechnos, v'yos mesrim v'tartin al ta'achrehum. Okay, so this is Rashi finishing up his first pshat. Lashon Acher. Now Rashi over here is going to give a second pshat in the Gemara. Ad yadcha atzaveri debrech b'shashe od yadcha tkifa alav havizahir lelamdo tochachos. So Rashi says that the Gemara here is talking about character refinement. From 16 to 22 or 18 to 24, that's the time when you should really sit down with your son, talk to him about had become a good person. The Azaz Mano, Mishitzer Vedesrim Vitartin, Basa Mishitzer Ainbo Dasa Kabel Tochachos. Fascinating. Rashi writes, below the age of 16, even though he's above Bar Mitzvah, even though he's Chayv B'Mitzvos, but below the age of 16, he's not really ready to hear any Musar. Al Kach V'Al Tachbid Yisurim V'Tochachos. V'Yosem Esrim V'Tartin, now above 22, Yesh Lachush Shalo Yiv'at. Then there's a concern that after 22 years of age, he's not real. He feels like he's all grown up and he's mature and he doesn't want to hear it. So Rashi says that in the second shot that the Gemara is talking about what you should be doing during these 6 years is giving tochacha, giving rebuke to your son, basically trying to refine his character. Okay, so those are the two pshatim in Rashi. The advantage to the first pshat in Rashi is that it fits in wonderfully to the context of the entire Gemara. Gemara is talking about marriage, and then the Gemara gives this sweet range of 6 years. So, according to the first pshat, it's good because it's talking about marriage. The second pshat is better because, I would say, for two reasons. Number one, because now we're pushing out the age beyond 20. To 22 and to 24, and previously the Gemara held 20 was like the latest you should get married. And also, what's a little bit better for the second pshat is the Gemara quote the pasuk of Mishlei, Chanoch l'nara p'idarko. The simple pshat in that pasuk is that it's not talking about marriage; it's talking about just simple chinuch, meaning train your son, educate your son, refine your son. Okay, ad heichen chayv adam l'amud es bino Torah. Okay, now we have established that there is a mitzvah for the father to teach his son Torah. And the simple question the Gemara is going to ask is, how much? How much Torah should a father teach his son? Amar Yehuda Meshmol Kigon Zvulam Bendan Shalimdo Avi Aviv Mikro Mishim Etamadu Halachas Agados. So the Gemara gives an example of Zvulam Bendan, who was taught by his grandfather, and he was taught Chumash Mishnah Talmud Halachas and Agados. So the simple answer is everything. In other words, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah incorporates everything. So really, there are two chidushim over here in this statement by Rav Yehuda Meshmul. Number one, it's multi-generational. It goes beyond father-son. It goes from grandfather to grandson. Number two, in terms of how much Torah you should teach, the answer is very simple and flat, everything. So meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the Braisa. Limdo mikra ein malam de mishnah. Once you teach a mikra, chumash, and then you don't have to teach a mishnah. V'amar Rava mikra zu Torah. And furthermore, Rava says that when it says mikra, mikra is a reference to Torah, meaning, as Rashi over here points out, not nevi'im and not ksuvim. Meaning, so it sounds like from the Braisa, pretty clearly, that the only obligation that a father has to teach a son is chamishi chumashi Torah, and that's it. So the Gemara says, Kizvulim badan v'lo kizvulim badan. Okay, so the Gemara says we're going to go back to the statement of Rav Yehuda Meshmul, and we're just going to modify. Not the statement, but what we're supposed to learn from that. Kizvulim badan shalim do avi aviv. Now, here's the part that we're supposed to take away from that. Grandfather should be teaching his grandson. That part is accurate. However, velokiz v'lo mendan diilu hasa mikra mishnah v'tamad halachas v'agados v'ilu hacha mikra levan. But in terms of the amount, the quantity of what should be learned from father to son, so the base minimum requirement of what a father needs to teach a son is chamisha chumshei Torah. In terms of the rest of it, so that is not a base requirement from the father to the son. The grandfather is v'lo mendan, so he went above and beyond. The Gemara says, now, even the one part that you felt was meant to be taken literally and halachically, and that is the grandfather's obligation to teach his grandson. The Gemara says, is that perfectly true? The Gemara quotes the Braisa. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says he teaches children. Children meaning and not grandchildren, meaning there is no basic obligation for a grandfather to teach his grandson. And now, as far as the pasuk describing you sharing with your children and your children's children, otherwise known as your grandchildren, if you teach your son Torah, it's ki'ilu you taught your grandson, your great-grandson, and you perpetuate it for generations. So that's all the Torah is telling us. But there, according to this Braisa, there is no obligation for a grandfather to teach his grandson, and that's going contrary to what we learned together in the name of Rav Yehuda Meshmul. So the Gemara says, "Udam ki Tana." So the Gemara says he's it's going like the following Tana. Did Tanya will learn a Braisa? So it says b'neichem. How do I know b'nei b'neichem? So this brisa clearly has it that there's an obligation for a grandfather to teach his grandson. So then, why would the Torah then say b'neichem? Like we said yesterday's daf, the sons to the exclusion of daughters, meaning that there's no obligation to teach your daughter. That's what the b'neichem is coming to exclude. But there is an inclusion of grandchild. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Kol malame is ben benot Torah malah love hakasav ki ilu kibalta. Kabbalah, Mehar Sinai. So if you teach your grandson Torah, it's like your Mekabla from Har Sinai. Shenemar, V'otatam L'vanech, L'vanei V'anech, V'smich Lei. Now if you look there in the beginning of Devarim, so right next to the Pasuk of Ahodavtam, you're going to see the Pasuk of Yom HaShem Amata L'fnei Hashem L'kecha B'chorev, the day that you stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Chorev. Chorev is another term for Sinai. So teaching your grandson Torah is Ki'ilu, you get it from Har Sinai. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Ashkechei Rav Yeshua Malevi Dishadi Disna Areshe. The one Amara saw Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he threw something on his head, some sort of scarf, handkerchief on his head. Basically, he quickly threw something on in order to take his grandson and run him over to the shul so that he would learn with his grandson. Amalei Michael Lehi. So the Amara says to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, you know, you can slow down a little bit. You know, get dressed properly, maybe walk. Don't like what's all the excitement? So Amalei Mezuta my Dechsev. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, what do you mean? The Torah says, V'odatam Levanech V'smich Lei Yom Asher Matal Lefnei Hashem Melakecha B'Chorev. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, look, it's my grandson. I'm going to expose him to Torah. Exposing my grandson to Torah is ki'ilu. I'm receiving Torah from Har Sinai. Mikan ve'elach Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba lo time umtza demikra liyinuka umusfei. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba got the point. He learned the lesson. It's important to learn the Torah with your grandson. So every day he would learn a pasuk with his grandson, and he would review yesterday's pasuk, and he would learn a new pasuk as well. And when it says lo time umtzei, Rashi says that he didn't eat his morning meat. I don't know what the morning meat looks like. It sounds delicious. I'm ready to try it. But in other words, basically the same basic idea. Meaning he'd skip something in order to make sure that he'd be learning with his grandson in the morning. Rava baravuna lo tam umsa ad demaisa liyinukla beis medrasha. So another story with another amara. Rava baravuna also didn't eat his umsa in the morning until he brought his grandson over to the beis medrash. Am rav safra mishum rav yeshua ben chananya mai dechsev. Vishinantam lavanecha al tigra vishinantam ela vishilashtem. The Torah says vishinantam lavanecha. Now the Vishinan Tem Shinun means a lot of things. Most basically it means that you should repeat and review, right? Lashanot. But in this context, the Gemara is focusing on the double nun. The double nun is teaching us that it should be sharp. When you are learning Torah, you shouldn't just learn Torah, you should master Torah. And you should be sharp in the amount that you know. And the Gemara now is going to give us a program in terms of how to sharpen yourself in terms of the learning of Torah. So Vishi Lashtem. And what the Gemara says is what you should do in this program that the Gemara is recommending is you should divide it into three. La'olam Yishalish Adam Shnosav Shalosh B'Mikra Shalosh B'Mishra Shalosh B'Talmud. So what you should do is you should take the number of years you're going to live, divide it into three. It's really simple. I don't even know what the problem is. Take it, divide into three, and then a third of your life you should dedicate to Chumash, a third of your life you should dedicate to Mishnah, and a third of your life you should dedicate to Talmud. It's simple. Now the Gemara says, Mi odea kamachaye. So the Gemara says, it's not so simple. It's great planning when you know how long you're going to live. The problem is that remains to us for Kadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, a mystery in terms of how long we're going to live. So while we are only working in one direction, that is moving forward, and we do not know how long we're going to live, so we obviously need to modify the strategy so that we know how to do it. So the Gemara says, okay, modify the strategy. So lo tzricha liyume. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara says, okay, so do it liyume. What does that mean, liyume? So Rashi over here writes, yume means yume ha-shavua. So from Rashi, what it sounds like, and this is the way Tosfos understands Rashi, is that basically you're going to take your week and you're going to divide into a third. Now let's leave Shabbos out of it, because Shabbos obviously is a day in of itself. So that means Sunday and Monday Chumash, Tuesday and Wednesday Mishnah, Thursday and Friday Gemara. That's the way Tosfos understands Rashi. Tosfos also is not excited by that modification. You take a look at Tosfos inside. Tosfos says, Perish Bekuntras, the second Divrei Maskil on the Daf. So Perish Bekuntras, Tosfos writes, Yemei HaShabbos, Klamer, Shnei Yamim, Mikra, Shnei Yamim, Mishnah, Shnei Yamim, Gemara, V'lo Nehira. So Tosfos says, I'm not really excited about that pshat. Even for the week, I mean, it's terrible to say, but it's true. We don't even know if we're going to make it through the week. So Menir Ali, Lefarish bechol yom vayom. So Atzmo. I'm sorry. B'chol yom v'yom atzmo yishalesh al kain. So we'll get to the al kain in just a moment. So Tosa says you should do it on a daily basis. Okay, in other words, take it your day, every day, and divide into thirds. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah takes this position of Tosfos and says every day you should divide your day into thirds. And the Rambam, it's great. It just you have to read inside. I'm sorry, I'm only paraphrasing. I'm not quoting it. But the Rambam says that you should be learning 9 hours a day. Not talking to the Talmud Chacham, he's talking to the Baal Bas. You should be learning 9 hours a day. You should be working, says the Rambam, 3 hours a day. Okay? And the Rambam also, not there elsewhere, says you should be sleeping 8 hours a night. Okay? Makes for a productive life. So, the... I'm just telling you what he... Right now, I'm just reporting what he says in Mishnah Torah. So anyway, 9 hours a day, and the Rambam writes. And what do you do with those 9 hours? Exactly what we just learned together. Three of them are dedicated to Chumash, three of them are dedicated to Mishnah, and three of them are dedicated to Talmud. Although, if you read on in the Rambam, again, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, it's all in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So if you read on the Rambam goes on to write, but there's going to come a point where you're going to have full mastery over Chumash and Mishnah. So at that point in time, says the Rambam, so then you're just going to learn Talmud. Meaning, you take the 9 hours and you devote it to Talmud. And as far as Chumash and Mishnah is concerned, you review them periodically to make sure that you haven't forgotten them. Okay, so, the point I was making is very simple, is that Rambam follows basically Tosos' understanding that this allocation of dividing into three times is on a daily basis. Al-Kain, just as an interesting note, just reading on the Tosfos, Tikkun b'Sidur Rav Amram. If you look at the Sidur of Rav Amram, one of the oldest Sidurim that we have, we know it's an old Sidur because Tosfos is quoting it. So obviously, it's an old standardized Sidur, and he says, you're going to find something very interesting. We have this in our Sidurim to this very day. So we have this thing called Pesukah d'Zimra. Before Pesukah d'Zimra, we also have this thing where we call it carbonos. So I don't want to tell you what we normally do with carbonos, but okay, it's not nice to say, but we have it. And lamar mikra u'mishna u'gemara. And what we do is mishna mikra u'gemara. Meaning, if you open up your section of carbonos, you're going to find that first there's chumash, meaning we quote the parsha of carbonos, right? The daily Talmud in Parshas Pinchas. Then what we do is we quote Mishnayos. We read the entire fifth parak of Zvachim, and then after that we read Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is Gemara methodology. So why do we do that? Because it's symbolic. It's not really what's meant. What's really meant is like the Rambam writes: 9 hours a day, 3 hours chumash, 3 hours Mishnah. In other words, that's really what's meant. But over here, it's symbolic in that every day we are fulfilling this idea of Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. And then, just one other point in Tosos, which becomes really interesting and earth-changing in terms of earth-shattering in terms of the ramifications, Rabbeinu Tam Pirush, Anu Somchin, Ahadamir, and Sanhedrin. So Rabbeinu Tam says, now what about us and our yeshivas? So Rabbeinu Tam writes, in our yeshivas, we basically go right into Gemara. Basically. Okay, I don't exactly know how the curriculum worked in the time of Rabbeinu Tam, but basically, whatever we just saw in the Gemara together, and in the Rambam, so Rabbeinu Tam says, but we don't practice that. What do we do nowadays? We just go right into Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam says, and why do we do that? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Bavel, Balula, Bemikra, Bemishnah, Vegemara, the Gemara's Bavel, Balul Mikulam. You look at the Talmud Bavli, I mean, that's what we learn on a daily basis. So you look at the Talmud Bavli, so you're going to see in the Talmud Bavli, you have the Mishnayos and you have the Gemara there, although admittedly not all the Mishnayos. Okay. And you have Pesukim, scattered, random, but you have Pesukim. So since the Talmud Bavli is a chulent, so to say, of Chumash and Mishnah and Gemara, so therefore the Rabbeinu Tam writes that that's what we do. We focus primarily on the Bavli, and it's a basic cholent of everything, and that affords us, that's the way that we accomplish the goal that the Gemara set forth. Okay. Lefichach. Okay, in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Amud Aleph. We are three wide lines down. This is a new section of the Gemara. It's not necessarily connected to what we learned previously. Obviously, it has to do with Torah. But it's a standalone section. I'm not really sure if it has a good place in Shas. This is a good place for it. It's here, so it's a very good place for it. Lefichach nikru rishonim sofrim. The earlier generations referred those people who were the authors of the Torah, what we would call sofrim. So they were called sofrim shayu sofrim kol ha'osir shebetorah. Now the word sofrim, we think of it as a scribe. More literally, it's a counter. And why is the author of the Torah referred to as a counter? Because he counts. In other words, in order to ensure a faithful transmission, I should say, of the Torah from generation to generation, so the precision will be done best if we count. We count letters, words, psukim, so they're all going to be counted. Shehayu omrim. And when they would count it up, they would say, the vav de gachon chotzin shel osir shel sefer Torah. That if you see the word vav of gachon, we just passed it by in Parsha Shmini. So that is the center letter of the sefer Torah. Darosh darash chotzin shel tevos. The darosh darash also we passed back in Parsha Shmini. So that's the two central words of the Torah. Vit galech shel psukim. And we just saw in this last week's parsha, v'hit galach regarding the mitzara. So that is the center of the psukim in the Torah. Yichar semna chazir miyar ayin diyar chetzin shel tehillim. Tehillim, which is made up of 150 chapters, 150 parakim. It's a little lopsided, however. 75 is not the middle because perikuf yates in tehillim is long, 176 psukim long. So it's so the center is going to be a little bit off. So if you look in we're in Perek Pei in chapter 80. So the ayin over there is half of the letters of Tehillim. V'hu rachum yichapavon chetiv d'psukim. The hu rachum is halfway through the psukim. Okay, so we are basically marked off the center letter, word, and pasuk of the Torah, and the center letter and pasuk of Tehillim. By Rav Yosef Vav de Gachon, Mehagisa Mehagisa. Now apparently Rav Yosef had a tradition that it's not an odd number of letters in the Torah, it's rather an even number of letters. And so the Vav of Gachon, is it on the, in other words, it's the center, but it's not the center because it's not an odd number. He had a Masorah that was an even number. So does it stay on the right side of this of the center or the left side of the center? So So he says this is not a problem. The only thing that would prevent us from finding out is laziness, and they were not lazy. So well, let's bring a sefer Torah. Let's count up the letters, and we'll figure it out. So Milo Amarava Barachana Lo Zazu Mishamachi He View Sefer Torah Umanom. There was another occasion where they opened up the sefer Torah and they counted. So why don't we do the same thing? Amarle Inu Bikiya Bechaseiros V'Yaseiros. So he says, wait 1 second. It's not that easy. The only impediment is not just laziness, it's also a lack of information. We are not experts on chaseros and yaseros. You're going to see many times the word Yehoshua written with a vav, without a vav. In other words, that's a chaser, that's a yaser. And we're not proficient. When I say we, I'm talking now from the Gemara standpoint. We are not proficient in chaseros and yaseros. Anan lo bikinan. And so therefore, it is just simply not within our power to open up a sefer Torah and to simply count. By Rav Yosef Vizkalech Mehagisa Mehagisa. So he says, now what about Vizkalech? Again, the Gemara is working with an assumption that there is a even number of psukim in the Torah. So even though we identified Vizkalech as the center pasuk, it can't be the middle because it's not an odd number. It's an even number. So once again, if we hit the center of the Torah psukim, so is Vizkalech right of center or left of center? So Amalei Abaye Paskemi Aleisa Limnuye Bipsukim Anamilo Bikinan. To which the Gemara says, even in psukim, we are not absolutely proficient in terms of the suf pasuk. meaning obviously we have a Misari, open up a Chumash and you'll see, but that's not a proficiency, it's not something that is absolute. The Gemara says, Zechi Asa Rav Acha Mer Ada Amar Bema Rava Paska Lahaikra Latate Psuke. There's a Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, and there's a discrepancy between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, whether this should be one long Pasuk, or whether this should be counted as three Psukim. But Yamar Shema Moshe, Hinei Enochi Ba Alecha Ba Ava Anan. Okay, so the Gemara says, so even in terms of when the Psukim come to an end, that's also something that we do not have a proficiency in. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Chameshes Alofim. Ushmona meos, ushmonim, ushmona psukim have psuke sefer Torah. There is a total of 5,888 psukim in the Torah. You talk about, this is good, after just having read the Gemara, the idea that we do not have proficiency in the self pasuk. So if you look at the side of the Gemara, so you'll see that the number that was just given by the Gemara is not agreed to by everybody. If you look in our Chumashim, you look, see, I'm reading from the side of the Gemara. Right, a marginal insertion. So he says that psukim, the psukim Torah of ours have 5,845. Okay, so that is obviously that's 33 off what the Gemara records as a number. And in the Yalkut, they actually give another number, 5,855. Okay. So and then even another one on top of that. Our Chumashim, I should know this. I think there's a Masorah at the end of our Chumashim in terms of the number of Pesukim that are recorded. Anyway, I guess the point is very simple. We have a good idea of how many Pesukim there are in the Torah. We don't have an absolute number, and again, it has to do with the fact that discrepancy of when to insert a Sof Pasuk. Okay. Yes, sir. Sorry. Ushmona Pesukim have a Pesukim Sefer Torah. Yes, sir. I love Tehillim Shmona. Gemara says, interestingly, that Sefer Tehillim has eight more psukim than that of a Sefer Torah. It's difficult to imagine, meaning, as we already went over, Sefer Tehillim has 150 prakim. A Sefer Torah has a lot more than 150 prakim. And yes, it's true that Sefer Tehillim Kuf Yates is exceptionally long, but the Sefer Torah has got 50, 40... Right, I'm ballparking right now. At least 200 prakim. Okay, right. 50 in Brachos, 40 in Shmos. Whatever. Okay, it's just as a ballpark. It's over 200. Okay. Anyway, so but we're not talking about prakim. We're talking about psukim. I understand. But okay. The Gemara has a Masara that Tehillim exceeds that of Chumash by a psukim. And Chasam Mimena Devarayam Shmona, and Sefer Devarayam, which is also very long, chronicles the entire history of mankind from Adam Arishon all the way to the Chorban Bayis Rishon. So that also is just about the same length in Psukim as the Torah, eight Psukim less than that of a Sefer Torah. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. Again, that section of the Gemara over there, interesting as it is. Just kind of say, you know, got sandwiched into our Gemara over here. We now come back to our Gemara, our topic, I should say. Tanur Rabbanan. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara continuing now. Vishinat Mishu Divrei Torah Mechuda Demeficha. It's an idea that we saw already earlier. That Vishinatem meaning Vishilashtem, and Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Meaning, we should have a fluency of Torah, and we should be going over it repeatedly, in order so that we have clarity on Torah. So, Shem Yishalchalach Adam Davar. Somebody comes over to you and asks you a question. Al Tigam Game. So don't stutter, say the answer, say it confidently. That's how well you should learn Torah. In other words, the Gemara is telling us we need to master Torah. V'tarmalo, ela amorlo miyad. You should say it immediately. Shenamar lechachma, sorry, emor lechachma chotiyat. Okay, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Mishlei. How exactly are we deriving from the Pasuk in Mishlei? Take a look at the top Rashi on Lamed Amud Beis. Rashi writes, Shetehe baki ba ke'achoscha sha'asir alacha. So one pshat, says Rashi, is, your sister is asur to you. You knew that, Everybody knows that. It's intuitive and it's the pasuk in the Torah. But you should know the rest of the Torah like you know that one little piece of information. That's one pshat in Rashi. Inami, be safe for the Krah. Umod levina tikra shetei yadu alach. Or the real limud comes from the rest of the pasuk where the umod levina tikra. In terms of wisdom, wisdom should be a moda, right? A moda is like a really close relative, right? We said it by Naomi in Sefer Rus that she had a moda. She had a really close relative. So that's how well you should know your Torah. The Omer, Kashama Etz Basech, Kashama Luch Libech, and now the Gemara is going to give a series of psukim that span mostly Tehillim that are going to describe that we need to have this very close relationship with Torah. We should have an intimate knowledge of Torah. We should know it really well, master it. So Kishama Etz Basech, Kashama Luch Libech, write them on your fingers. I'm sorry, tie them on your fingers and write them on the walls of your heart. Va'omer kechisim biad gibor, kein b'nei ha-ne'urim, like arrows, and then chisei gibor shinunim, sharp arrows. Again, the idea that we should have a sharp, clear understanding of the Torah. Va'omer chisecha shinunim amim tachtecha yipolu, the nations will fall under you when you have a sharp understanding of the Torah. Va'omer ashu egev Hashem mileis hashpaso mehem, praiseworthy is a person who fills his ashpaso, not garbage. Ashpaso over here means I don't know the word, right? The where you put the arrow, where you store the arrow, in
quiver.
Thank you.
Yeah, quiver.
Okay. I have a good picture in my mind. Lo yivosh ki yidabru sa'ivei mishar. So, and you won't be embarrassed when you're speaking to your enemies in the gate. Enemies, gate, what are we talking about? Ma'isavim bishar, amar revchia barava, afilu, havo vano, arava tamido, sha'oskim b'torah. The father and the son, the Rebbe and the Talmud, who are learning Torah bishar together in the gate. Echad, I'm sorry, bishar echad. Nasim oivim zedze, ve'inam zazim misham, ashinasim oivim zedze. So they're combative against one another. In other words, the learning of Torah requires a little bit of debate, a little bit of argument, and the Gemara here illustrates, paints a very visceral picture of them being enemies with one another. But at the end of, obviously, the fact that they're learning Torah, they're going to end up becoming Oavim Ze'ezeh. Shenem are Ez Vahev Besufa. Al Tekrev Besufa El Besofa. The Vahev coming from an extension of the word Ahava, love, is that in the end, what's going to end up happening is that the Talmid Chachamim, who are fighting with one another, arguing with one another, really trying to get at the truth of the matter, so in the end, they ultimately will become Oavim Ze'ezeh. Tanur Rabbanu v'samtem. The Gemara here continues on this discussion of the significance of learning Torah and the ramifications of learning Torah. The Torah quotes from the second parsha of Shema v'samtem, and the Gemara over here is going to give a little bit of drush. Sam tam, sam meaning a medicine, tam meaning perfect. Okay, Nim Shel Torah Kesam Chayim. The Torah is compared to as the medicine of life. These drug commercials, they are both frightening and hilarious. You listen to the side effects of all these drugs. The announcement of the side effects go much longer than the actual benefits of the drugs themselves. But that's just the nature of drugs. Every drug has a side effect. Torah is a drug with no side effect. So Mashal Adam She Hikas Bano Maka Gedola V'Hinich Lo Ritzia Makaso. Analogy of a father hitting a son and then putting a bandage on the wound. As long as the bandage is on your wound, you can eat whatever you want, and you can drink whatever you want. And it's not like the bandage that comes off in the water. You can take a bath in hot water, cold water. And you do not need to worry because the bandage is going to protect your wound. However, the moment you take the mandate off, you are going to be in trouble. You're going to have some sort of growth growing in that area. What we can call an infection. I don't know the exact translation. I do know it's not good. That's the mashal. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Kacha kash baruch hu amar lahem liyisrael b'ni. Baras yetzer hara v'rati lo Torah tavlin. So kash baruch hu says, yes, it's true. I created all of you with the yetzer hara. But then I also created a Torah, which is the antidote to the yetzer hara. As long as you're busy learning Torah, you will not be handed over to the Yetzer HaRa. Shenamar, halom titif se'es, the first Mussar that was ever given in the Torah. This was to Cain after he killed Hevel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes over to him and says as follows, Im Teitiv Seis. So if you're good, you can carry it, meaning you can handle the Yetzara. V'im Ayin, Atem Oskim B'Torah, Atem Ninsar B'Yado. And if you're not involved in Torah, you will be handed over to him. To the Yetzara, Shenamar, Lefesach Chatas Ravetz. It's crouching at the entrance of the doorway. Meaning the Yetzara is there, and he's ready to pounce. And V'lo Od Ela Shekol Maso Matno Bach. And don't think that the Yetzara has got other things that are distracting him from getting at you. No, his full attention is on you. Shenemar ve'elecha teshukaso. Again, this is all from the pasuk that Hashem speaks to Chaim. So he is after you. V'imata rotzeh ata moshal bo. But you have the power to have dominion over the Yetzara. Shenemar v'ata timshal bo. But you can have dominion over him. And now in the context of a Gemara, how do you have dominion over him? The answer is Torah. Limud Torah. Tana rabbana kashi Yetzara shafilo yotzo kora. Now just in terms of the Yetzara, he is a significant combatant, even a Kadosh Baruch Hu who created the Yetzer Hara, so he calls him bad. Shenamar ki Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Minu Rav. Amar Rav Yitzchak Yitzro Shel Adam Mischanes Shel B'Chol Yom. The Yetzer Hara doesn't get worn down. Right, you and I get worn down. The Yetzer Hara does not get worn down. In fact, rejuvenates every day. Shenamar Rak Ra Kol Hayom. V'Amar Rav Shimon Malevi Yitzro Shel Adam Misgaber Ala B'Chol Yom. Yetzer Hara actually increases every day. Umevakesh amiso wants to kill you. Shenamar tzofer rasha latzadik umevakesh lamiso. V'yomalei Kadosh Baruch Hu ozro en yachol lo. Now without a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, we couldn't. Shenamar lakim lo yazvenu biyado. Kadosh Baruch Hu will not allow us to fall into the hands of to fall into his hands, meaning Yetzer Hara. Time to be Rav Yishmol. Beni impaga b'cham manuvel zeh. If this manuvel, this disgusting entity, meaning the Yetzer Hara, if he's really getting a grip on you, mashchuhu lebeis medrash. So what you do is you drag him into the beis medrash. Im evenu nimolach. Now, if he's a stone, he will dissolve. V'im barzel hu misposeitz. And if he's iron, he's just going to explode. Shenemar halo kol devari ke'esh mashem. The words of a Kadosh Baruch Hu are esh. The pasuk says esh das lamo. The words of a Kadosh Baruch Hu esh. It can melt stone. It can melt metal. U'bepatish yifotzei sela. Im evenu nimolach. Shenemar hoi kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. And if it's a stone, it's just going to dissolve. It's going to melt. V'omer avanim shachaku mayim. Water kind of rubs away at the stone. And so that's what we would do. That's what Torah would do to the Yetzer Hara if the Yetzer Hara is getting the best of us. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we continue.